Blog Talk Radio.
HuntsvilleBlack.com. That's HuntsvilleBlack.com.
In this episode of Bringing Voices to Power, I talk with Brenda Kathy Larger, who has a criminal justice degree and is co-founder of the Coalition Against the Abuse of Department of Human Resources. She attended both NOC College in Oklahoma and Wichita State. Brenda also administered the Facebook page Investigate Child Protective Services about the many injustices that occur in the child services racket and how it destroys far more families than they help. Brenda will talk about the following: children dying in state's care, reunification not the funded goal, immunity for DHS employees, foster abuse and neglect, no due process within the system, no family rights, privacy leaks in other agencies and non-family members, no investigation before removal of children would also be discussed, also the total disregard for constitution or civil rights. Brenda and I will offer some solutions to these problems. The voices that I'm bringing to power are the ones that never get mainstream attention, those victims of the child, Protective Services that allege some of the following: violating civil rights, crimes against children, narcissistic behavior, etc. Good afternoon, Brenda. How you doing? Brenda, you there? Okay, we're going to go to a break. Can we get Brenda back on the line? Okay, we're back with Bringing Voices to Power. Brenda, are you on the line? Hello? I guess she's not on the line, so I'm just going to go ahead and roll with it. The show is about the Coalition Against Abuse of the Department of Human Resources. In a recent Washington Post article, they talked about child protective services and the criminalization of parenthood. I'm going to read some of that article to you. It was by Radley Balco. Over at The Nation, Michelle Goldberg lays out another issue area where progressives and limited government types should be able to find some common ground and overreach. The overreach of child protection agencies and the disproportionate impact that that overreach has on the black community. Brenda,
Marcus,
have you joined us?
Can you hear me?
I'm here. Yes,
I was on there earlier.
Yeah, we had some technical difficulties a little bit. I was just reading part of an article that was in the Washington Post about the child protective services and the criminalization that's happening around parenthood. It just all seems like a racket. Now, I'm going to read this short story, this incident, to you, and then I'm going to let you take it from there, and you can share with our listeners what you've experienced and some of the things that could be changed about the system.
Sounds good.
Okay, so on July 29th, 2013, a Latina mother in Illinois named Natasha Felix sent her three sons, ages 11, 9, and 5, out to play with a visiting cousin, a young girl, in a fenced park right next to their apartment building. The oldest boy was charged with keeping an eye on his siblings, while Felix watched them all from the window. While they were outside, a local preschool teacher showed up at the park with her class. She saw the 9-year-old climb a tree. Felix's youngest son fought with his cousin over a scooter and at one point ran into the street. Based on this, the teacher called the child abuse hotline and Felix received a visit from the Department of Children and Family Services. According to legal filings in the case, the investigator, Nancy Rodriguez, found that Felix's kids were clothed appropriately, appeared clean and well-groomed, and that Felix appeared to be a good mother. Felix's oldest son seemed like a mature young boy who certainly could be allowed to go outside by himself to the park next door. However, when Rodriguez asked Felix if the boys had any special needs, Felix replied that the 11-year-old and the 9-year-old had been diagnosed with ADHD. On the advice of their doctor, they were off their medications for the summer. Rodriguez later wrote that based on the mother not knowing that the kids were running into the street with the scooter and based on the children having ADHD, she recommended that Felix be cited for inadequate supervision under the Illinois Abused and Neglected Child Reporting Act. As a result, Felix was placed on the state's child abuse registry, which led to her losing her job as a home health care aide and ended her dreams of becoming a licensed practical nurse. Goldberg correctly points out that similar to issues such as police militarization, mandatory minimum sentences, and other overreaches of the criminal justice system, the Child Protective Services, CPS, issue is finally getting some national attention, not because these stories haven't been going on for years, but because they're finally starting to affect people who have the social capital to speak out. And that brings us to Brenda Cathy Largent and myself here at Bringing Voices to Power. We're going to use our social capital to bring an awareness to this issue. Now, I'm going to let Brenda talk to you about some of her experiences.
First, let me take this time to thank you, Marcus, and thank everybody for everything that they do regarding this issue in general. And what started my issue, I was unaware there was a problem with DHS. I was one of those people who thought that DHS would only come into your life and affect you or your children if you are a bad person, a bad parent, somebody who absolutely had no regard for their children, is what the assumption I had. And 6 years ago, I had a teenage daughter who was 15 at the time, and I caught her talking to a 40-year-old man on the telephone. Well, I decided that the best punishment at that time would be to turn her telephone off and let her go without a phone for a month. So that's what I did. Well, my child decided that she would run away from home because of this. And she was gone for 2 days. And what she did was she went to the police station and told the police station that I was a bad person. She told them several complete lies about me because she knew it would get me in trouble. And that's what she wanted to do. She was angry over her phone. So they gave us a court date for the next day, actually. And I was still upset because the child had lied. So I sent my mom and my dad to the courthouse because I figured any sane judge in the world could look at these lies and tell that they were just lies from a spoiled child who wasn't getting her way. Well, when my parents came back from court, the judge had not only issued that my oldest daughter remain in custody, but she had also issued warrants for the pickup of my other four remaining children that I had at the home. The reason being that I did not take the accusations seriously enough to show up to court, so that meant I did not care. So at the time, my husband and I went and we hid our other four children. We were not going to give our four children to DHS. That was not an option, an issue. We had discussed it, and it was not going to happen. So what they did was they jailed me. And I was in jail for 2 days, and they constantly said, if you do not give us your children, you will remain here until they are in our custody. Well, on day two, my husband decided that rather than leave me in jail forever, as they such cited, he was going to give our four children to DHS. And when he released the children to DHS, they released me from jail. Well,
that sounds like you had to pay the ransom of your kids to get your freedom.
Yes, yes. And I immediately shut down because I am a mother of five children. They're all 5 years apart, 5, 10, 15, 20, and 25 as of now. But then they were younger. And it affected me in a way that I could not even explain. I mean, my husband and I both, we went into a mode where we walked around for 3 solid days not knowing what to do. They had told us we couldn't call. They told us we couldn't visit. We had no rights whatsoever until our next court date, which was scheduled for, I believe, 3 weeks away. They gave us a court-appointed attorney who told us that our only option was to remain mute, to not stand up in court and say, hey, this is stupid. I want my kids back. You guys have no proof. Well, of course, I'm not ever mute about anything. So I started calling everybody, the governors, the main people of DHS, our actual caseworkers, her boss. I made approximately 30 phone calls a day, every day, once I got out of my 3-day depression. So they decided what they were going to do was hold a pre-trial hearing. And they set that for, I think the kids were in custody about 8 days by then. And they had a pre-trial hearing, and I took every bit of evidence that I possibly could that I was a good parent. And upon them receiving all this evidence, about 12 hours later, they made a report with the referral that I get my children back. So they returned my four younger children, but kept my oldest child in custody because they claimed that she had mental issues, which her issues were nothing except for she was spoiled and wanted her way. So after all of this, I started researching other people that this might have happened to. And I joined some groups on Facebook, and I started meeting more and more people. And I started protesting and picketing at the Department of Human Services, not only at their office, but at our county courthouse and our courthouse here in the city that I live at. Among all this time I spent protesting, all I did was meet case after case after case of people that were in the same boat that I was, who had done nothing wrong, but DHS had turned it around and made it sound like it was just horrible parenting. There was no way they should ever get their children back. And I became angry. I was angry at other parents for not sticking up for their rights. I was angry at DHS for putting parents through this. I was angry at our court system for not seeing that it was all ridiculous. And I just kept going and going and going. And we have, in the state that I live in Oklahoma, and we have accomplished a lot of stuff here in Oklahoma. Recently, what has happened is the governor has stepped in and said that in order for Oklahoma DHS to make a final decision upon getting rid of parents' rights, terminating their rights, they now have to take it through the governor's desk, and the governor has to review the case and sign off on it before anybody's parental rights can be taken in the state of Oklahoma. Now, this is 6 years later, mind you, when they probably knew there was a problem 6 years before I ever even started picketing, protesting, and activating for the cause.
Yeah, the problem started when they were created. And like you say, when you communicate with people, is that when they start out from a position of totally disregarding your constitutional or civil rights. And plus, on top of that, what about the immunity that DHS workers have? I think
yes,
that plays a big role. They have immunity, so they can come in, destroy your life, and years later, it doesn't matter how much evidence you prove for it, they're immune. I think that they
not
should
only
not
that,
be immune.
Yes, that, not only that, but if your child is killed, if your child is murdered while your child is in state custody, not only is the workers and the whole company immune, but the foster parents that actually did the murdering, if you study up on the foster parents once they went through the court system after they have harmed somebody else's child, the penalties once they go through court is not near as much as it should be. The last person we had here in Oklahoma that killed a child in foster. Huh?
Brenda, let me interject. Let me tell you why that's happening. That's happening, it's not hard to see. That's happening because they were the ones who initiated that. So if they're in foster care, that means the state had something to do with them getting to foster care. That's why you're not going to see them prosecuted as much. They're going to be lenient on them because they are the damn root cause of what happened.
Yes. And DHS will never, ever take responsibility for anything that they screw up or do wrong. It's never DHS's fault. It was either the parent in the beginning, it was the foster parent, it was the paperwork that they couldn't have time to fill out correctly. They always trickle it down. And we have the head department guy of Oklahoma DHS. His name is Ed Lake. And he actually, and I quote, it took me 6 months to get this guy to answer the phone. And once he did, he said he did not have time to talk with common folk. Now, first of all, we pay his electric bill. Yes. And if it wasn't for us, their bills wouldn't be paid.
Yeah, and once they get you in their grasp, i.e. a case number, it's almost impossible to get out. Once they get into your life, into your family unit and family structure, they're in there to wreak havoc and to destroy. Their goal, their funded goal, is not to reunite families. That's not what they're there for. They're there for a more sinister purpose.
Yes, yes, and it's all about the money. Like you said, it all trickles down to the money and where they can make the most dollar from. They don't care about the child. They don't care about the parents.
No, they don't.
They don't care about anything except for the money that it brings in.
Yes.
And as far as reunification goes, I am working now at the current moment with 47 families that want their children back, have been fighting for their children, have passed all their UAs, have done all of their bullshit that they make you do on the plan that you weren't even guilty of to begin with. But these parents had already signed the plan. See, let me get that out to everybody that's listening. The most important thing to do if you're a parent and you have lost your children and you are innocent, if you are innocent of what they're saying you did, do not sign the service plan. Don't do it, no matter what. If it comes down to it, the court will order that you do the service plan, but they will not order that you sign it. Once you have signed that service plan, what you say is, I am guilty. I agree with you guys. I am a bad parent, and I need to do all this to fix it.
Yeah, and that's just like if you're at a job. If there's a, if you get wrote up for something and you don't think you were guilty of it, don't sign it.
Yes, and we have so many parents scared. They're scared if they don't sign that, they'll never get their kids back.
Brenda, let me read this, and then I'm going to give you the last 3 minutes to wrap it up. This also comes from the Washington Post about Child Protective Services destroying families. Okay, it goes like this. Advocates for families caught up in the child welfare system hope that the national debate sparked by the free-range parenting movement will draw attention to the threats and intrusions that poor and minority parents endure all the time. Child neglect statutes, says a New York law professor and court director of the school's family defense clinic, tend to be extremely vague. So let's get this. These child neglect statutes tend to be extremely vague, giving enormous discretion to social workers. The reason we've tolerated the level of the improprieties in these laws for decades, he notes, is that they tend to be employed almost exclusively in poor communities, communities that are already highly regulated and overseen by low-level bureaucrats like the police. For somebody with the free-range cases that are hitting the paper today, this is a dream come true, because finally people who otherwise don't care about this problem are now calling out and saying too far here when it comes to these child protective services intrusion against a person's family and their civil liberties. I'm going to let you wrap this up. You got 2 minutes.
Okay. Like I said, if everybody was to stand up for their rights and they weren't to let DHS scare them or bully them into thinking they're bad people when you're not. And when DHS is in your life and you're innocent, please, please, please never plead guilty. Show your innocence. Make them prove that you are the bad one. You as a parent have the rights. DHS scares you into thinking you have no rights when that's completely wrong. And I want everybody to know that you can get on Investigate Child Protective Services, which is on my site, day or night. If you want any advice, information, I will call you. My phone number is on the page. You can call me, as a matter of fact. And I want everybody to know that it's up to us to fix this problem. Nobody else is going to fix it for us. And the sooner we get united and ready to fight, the sooner this fight's going to be over. And I thank you so much for your time.
Yes.
And thank you so much.
Thank you. This is one of the unfortunate reality of politics, because we tend not to take notice when bad things happen to classes of people with whom we have little in common. If you don't have nothing in common with somebody, the politicians and politics, you don't care. They do not care, because they're not coming in contact with you and they don't have to worry about their problem, but they really should be worried about their problem. It's only when it's happening to us or a relative or a neighbor that we get involved. But it's still the poor who get the brunt of it all, because they're always going to be disproportionately targeted by Child Protective Services. They are targeting these people, and we need an overall review and study by the Department of Human Services at this targeting. This is on the same level that's going on with the overreach of the police state. There's also an overreach into people's families. 20 seconds.
All right, and I agree with everything you said. I want everybody to just keep the fight up, man. It's going to be,
We're going to keep the fight up, and I'm going to definitely have you on again. I'd love to talk to you at least once a week about this issue. We'll be in touch.
Awesome. Awesome. Bye now.
They can't stop us. Check us out on HuntsvilleBlack.com. That's HuntsvilleBlack.com. Editors, business partners.